Hello and welcome to our final installment of PWN Norway's exclusive podcast series for Oslo Innovation Week 2020, What Women Want, A Tech Future. We just heard from Malak Alakili, founder and managing director of Golden Wheat for Grain Trading. Our final speaker in this series is professor, author, and activist Valerie Hudson. While having achieved many accomplishments, we've asked Valerie to discuss her work with the Women Stats Project. This project collects detailed statistical data on the status of women worldwide and comparing that data back to the data on security of the states. The intelligence gained from this project is used by organizations such as the UN, the US Department of State, and the World Bank, to name a few. And now for our final speaker, Valerie Hudson.
Hi, my name is Valerie Hudson, and I am a university distinguished professor in the Department of International Affairs at the Bush School of Government and Public Service at Texas A&M University, where I direct the program on women, peace, and security. I am also a co-founder and a co-principal investigator on the Women Stats Project. And today I'd like to tell you a little bit more about our online database that examines the situation of women globally and tell you a little bit more about our research. Well, the Women Stats Project, and I'd like to tell you that you can find us on the web at womanstats.org, womanstats.org. The Woman Stats Project began in 2001, so we're actually almost 20 years old. Originally, there were simply two co-PIs, myself and a professor of geography. Now, of course, we have about two dozen co-principal investigators, and these scholars are located both here in the United States as well as abroad. So we have co-PIs at Harvard and Brown and Texas A&M and Brigham Young University and UC Santa Barbara and many other institutions in the United States. But we also have co-PIs in Germany and the UK and Turkey and Denmark and Norway and China and also Colombia. And so we're very excited to tell you a little bit more about the project. The project began when I first started to research how the situation of women, what was happening with women in a given country, would affect the security and the stability and the resilience of a country. My first foray into that research was a book published by MIT Press called Bare Branches, The Security Implications of Asia's Surplus Male Population, and examined what happened to nations where 12 to 15% of the girl child population was culled, either through sex selective abortion or through female infanticide. And I think we were able to show fairly convincingly that culling those girls from the birth population did not augment the security of the nation, but actually degraded the security of the nation. Well, after the success of that research project, we began to ask ourselves, well, are there other forms of subordination or oppression of women that might have effects on national security and stability? And so in 2001, we decided that we would compile some information on subordinative practices and see if we could trace those to any national level outcomes. We started out with a little Excel spreadsheet with 27 variables, but today we have an online Python architecture database with over 350 variables. And we are looking at all countries that have at least 300,000 population. And we have fairly good data coverage from 1995 forward. So we have about 300,000 pieces of information in our database from all sorts of sources, from national government reports to NGO reports to scholarly reports. And we add new information to our database every single day. So, for example, on our homepage at womanstats.org, if you scroll down towards the middle of the homepage, you can actually see the last three data points that were added to the database that day. Now, when we first began in 2001, there were very few databases devoted to women. The most prominent one was the UN's WSSTAT. And after UNSCR 1325, there began to be a call for data on the situation and the security of women worldwide. And so a variety of new databases have entered into that space. So, for example, the State Department has 9 gender indicators, the UN has 52, there's the No Ceilings Project, Data2X, SIGI, the Societal and Gender Index of the OECD, the World Economic Forum has the Global Gender Gap Index, UNDP has the Gender Inequality Index, there's a Women, Peace, and Security Index from Georgetown, and so forth. Despite that, the fact that there are more and better sources of data on women, their challenges still exist. National statistical bureaus still do not collect all the data that one would want about women, or sometimes do not collect it on a sex disaggregated basis. I was stunned when we recently coded official rape prevalence statistics and found that there were actually about 24 countries for which there was no reported rape prevalence in the crime statistics at all, even to this day in 2020. Sometimes the most urgent information is simply not available. There's often a significant lag time until authoritative information becomes available. Longitudinal data is important to track change over time, and many data sets are not longitudinal. And when you're discussing women, qualitative information is key. That is to say, the lived reality of women's lives, the laws that constrain their lives, are all terribly important to understand. And yet many databases still rely primarily on quantitative information. It's also necessary to triangulate data. So for example, you may have a CEDAW report from a country that makes a report under the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. And that country may paint a very rosy picture in the report. But the truth may be far from that reality. So triangulation of sources is necessary and transparency is necessary, especially when you're scaling a country relative to other countries. It's critical that we know exactly what information was used and how it was organized in order to justify that scale. So as one of the databases in that ecology of databases about women, the Woman Stats database has some important distinguishing characteristics. As I just noted, we embrace qualitative information as well as what we call quasi-quantitative information. We also make a distinction between practice variables, law variables, data variables, and scales. So on any given phenomenon, say rape, we will have variables that look at what we call practice, that is women's lived experience What happens to a woman when she's raped? Is she often divorced? If she tries to report a rape, may she be raped by the police or sent home? And then we also want to look at law. What's the age of consent in a country? What constitutes rape? What are the standards for evidence? What are the punishments? What's the rate of conviction? We would also want data, such as official rape prevalence statistics, but perhaps also estimates that are made by experts. And then lastly, from all of that raw data, if you will, we would want to develop scales that would allow us to compare one nation to another. We also, of course, are very much into longitudinal data. As I said before, our coverage is from 1995 forward. We triangulate like crazy. We have all sorts of sources, from scholars and experts to NGOs and all sorts of sources in our database. And we are completely transparent, and we enforce intercoder reliability on our research assistants to make sure that the data compiled is of good quality. Now, we use the database first and foremost in our own research. And so the overarching focus of the Woman Stats Research Project has always been, how do the situation, security, and status of women affect the stability and security of the nation states in which they live? We're especially interested in providing large N empirical evidence, usually statistical in nature. While we have plenty of qualitative cases, and we do work with qualitative case studies, we're also very interested to see if there's aggregate statistical evidence for the linkages that we see. So we've had several works, and you may have heard of some of these works. Our first sort of woman stats book was called Sex and World Peace. And it was published in 2012, and we're updating it this coming year. And this particular book put forward empirical findings, such as the fact that the levels of violence against women in a society explain more of the variance in outcome measures of nation-state peacefulness, relationship with neighboring countries, and treaty compliance than measures of level of democracy, level of wealth, or even civilizational identity. And so the book has also put forward a theory, an elaboration of this linkage, suggesting that there are three main wounds, or one could consider them mechanisms, by which women are subordinated in society. And that includes ensuring that women are physically insecure within their societies, ensuring that family and personal status law and property rights are biased against women within the legal system, and that may be the formal legal system or the customary legal system. And then lastly, the mechanism of ensuring that women's voices are not at the decision-making table. So a lack of parity in the councils of human decision-making. Across the world. And so we followed up that book with another book called The Hillary Doctrine, Sex and American Foreign Policy, where we examined in qualitative fashion the 4 years that Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State in the United States under the first Obama administration. And we look at how, as one of the most powerful players in US foreign policy, Hillary Clinton was at times able to create change for women, and at other times unable to create change for women. And so we sift through various cases of American foreign policy to understand, what seemed to be effective and what was not effective, what were unintended consequences, what were unforeseen pitfalls. More recently, we've published work looking at bride price and bride price meaning the price that a groom's family pays to a bride's family in order to contract marriage with the bride. And we've looked at the role of bride price in aggravating the threat of terror and rebel groups within the society. That was published in 2017. We've also looked at, in fact, we were funded by the U.S. Department of Defense offer a comprehensive empirical analysis of the degree to which the subordination of women figured as a determinative predictor of poor national outcomes. And here the national outcomes examined were quite diverse. Not only did we look at measures of security and stability, we also looked at conflict and terrorism. We looked at economic performance. We looked at demographic indicators. We looked at health indicators. We looked at education and social progress and even environmental preservation. This was the largest study ever conducted, and we could not have done it without the funding from the Minerva Initiative of the U.S. Department of Defense. So we were out there collecting and compiling data on variables that most people don't even think about with regard to national security, such as prevalence of patrilocal marriage and prevalence of polygamy and so forth. What we were able to show in that very comprehensive analysis, and if you're interested, the book was just published this year. It's called The First Political Order, How Sex Shapes Governance and National Security Worldwide, and it's by Columbia University Press. Well, what we were able to show, looking at 122 outcome indicators of national stability, security, and resilience, was that in almost three quarters of the analyses, the degree to which women are subordinated in their households through marriage practices, family law, and other types of subordination, such as violence against women in the home, that indicator, that scale of women's household disempowerment was the most predictive and determinative factor in understanding poor national outcomes, even controlling for a wide variety of variables, including wealth and urbanization and ethnic fractionalization and so forth. So that's been kind of the culmination of two decades or more of work and research and data compilation and data scaling in order to undertake that research project. I hope in this short introduction to the WomanStats database and WomanStats research projects that you've been offered a tool that might help you in delving ever deeper into how what's going on with women really affects what's going on in our world. And so I will leave you there and hope to meet you in the online Q&A later on. Thank you so much. Goodbye.